All right, then look with me if you would, please. I want you to notice something that's very important to set when you're trying to study or you're studying the Word of God. You need to pay close attention normally to about the first few verses in any particular chapter. We can get an idea, a better idea of what the Lord is saying and whom he's talking to. Now, if you look in this, he's speaking to the children of Israel. He's, of course, speaking to Moses, and Moses relates the message to Aaron or unto the children of Israel. And he's telling him exactly who this message pertains to and who it's for. And that's profitable for everybody as far as that's concerned. But these precepts, these statutes, these ordinances, scripture talks in the Old Testament as well as the New, that this was particularly given to the people of the children of Israel. They were called to be a peculiar people, separated people, a dedicated people, people that might magnify the true and the living God, make known his ways upon all the face of the earth, which they failed miserably. They're still paying today for their great sin. They're still scattered abroad over all nations of all the world. All the world hates them just about. And they're a rejected people. But still God's long suffering arm and mercy is still upon them. And he's going to bring a restoration of the whole house of Israel. We read about that in the book of Revelation where there'll be 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe that Daniel said do know their God do great export. That's a promise that Paul talked about in the book of Romans that there'll be a remnant saved according to the election of grace. And these are those who have been chosen, fulfill what Isaiah talked about, preached about himself in the last chapter of the book of Isaiah. He talked about a nation being born at once. A woman may be able to bring forth a man child to conceive, but she wouldn't pain to be delivered. That's going to happen. Of course, they will go in pain to be delivered, and there'll be 144,000 modern day apostle Pauls who do know that God will do great export, the chosen ones, the elected ones that will go through the great tribulation period. That's very plain. It's not to be debated about, argued over. If you do that, you're just a fool, because it tells you very plain over in the book of Revelation who these are the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And of course, Daniel said they do know their God. They do great exploits. God will use them as the tribulation saints. Now, the church will be gone. We're going out of here pretty soon. In a moment, twinkling eye, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Everybody has blessed hope in them inside them. They're part of the body of Christ, and we're going out. Those that have died in him, we which are alive in him, that's a resurrection, a transformation, a change of the body. If you bore the image of the earthly, you'll also bore the image of the heavenly. This is immortal. Somebody said, I was thinking yesterday, and it got good in my heart. Well, we know one another. Paul said, we know as we're known. Absolutely. Wouldn't it be heaven if we didn't know one another? I wonder if that's going to be. This body is just going to make a change. Not so much in appearance, but in corruption to incorruption, mortal immortality. It's going to be brought to pass, saying and written, O death, where is thy sting, O grave, where is thy victory? Thank God one day after a while, he saved the best of last. Now I'll get out of this earth, the house, this tabernacle. It's going to be dissolved, and it is dissolved. I'll have a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven, just lacking under this body, same characteristics, same old me, except I won't be in sin, won't have a sinful body, have a brand new body, lacking under the Son of God. He had the same look of death that he had when he went down and died for our sin. God raised him from the dead. The Bible said every man had to soak in himself, purify himself, even his seed pure. And we'll see him as he is and be just like him. What a wonderful day that will be when Jesus comes back after his body, after his church. And in this particular chapter, chapter number 23, I want you to take notice and pay attention. A lot of folks say, well, the Saturday is a day of worship. That is the Saturday or the seventh day. Of course, I'll have to agree. God did create heaven and the earth 6 days. The seventh day he rested. Now, Sabbath means a day of rest. Sabbath does not always pertain to a Saturday. We know that by Scripture. There are feast days, there are holy days, over days of convocation. A lot of them were not on Saturday. They were on different days, yet they were called a Sabbath of rest. God recognized that, said you'll do no work on these days. And he's talking here to the children of Israel. We don't sacrifice, we don't bring lambs, we don't bring rams, we don't bring bullocks, we don't bring goats, we don't bring heifers. We don't bring those kind of things. It's not necessary. That price has already been paid. The ways ought to be made. He's offered up himself a sweet smelling incense. We don't offer up incense anymore. He is a sweet smelling incense. He is our Passover supper. He sacrificed himself for us. So there's no need for us to try to offer up those kind of sacrifices. They were timed and present. They were given as rules and regulations and benefits and blessings that the children of Israel might know how to conduct themselves and what God required of them. It was their teacher, their schoolmaster, bringing them unto Christ. Every offering that was made, of course, was a type of Christ. Everything they'd done, representing him, all these different sacrifices, the burnt offering, the peace offering, all these other things, sin offering, all these other things, brought wave offerings, all these things represented in some form, pictured the Lord Jesus, who had come and settled the sin once and forever, sin that once forever, that he did at Calvary. But I want you to look at, he said now in chapter number 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Now, he's not talking to the Gentiles, not talking to anybody else. He's talking to the people of Israel. Now, you'll see as he talks in these scriptures normally, in these first chapters, even this chapter in verse number 9, verse number 10, he said, speak unto the children of Israel. This is for them. This is for his chosen people. God had made, of course, Abraham the promise and his seed. Now, not his seeds of many, but his one seed, the seed of faith. And, of course, it pertained to the seed of the flesh. And, of course, God preserved them and took care of them and suffered them to go down into Egypt. Egyptian bondage for 430 years. With a mighty and right outstretched arm, he brought them out, delivered them, brought them down through the way of the wilderness, the way of testing to try to refine them, reprove them, to bring them out of all their idolatry, all their sinful, shameful, abominable, ungodly ways. But they were stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and they refused to believe God. Had a time to go in the land. Could have went in at about the first year, but they didn't do it. They come back with the evil heart of unbelief. Only two men were courageous, only two men were faithful, only two men believed God. That was the only two men of those men that went in, the rest of them, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. They died of an evil heart of unbelief. God wanted to bring them in a lot earlier, but they weren't prepared. They had an evil heart. They had corruptible ways, the bodily ungodly ways, and they rebelled against God. And so their carcasses fell in the wilderness. Paul said, now we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's what kept them out of the promised land. That's the only thing to keep people out of heaven, not being the chiefest among sinners, not being the most vile, not being the most ugly, the most brutal, the most savage-like. God saves sinners. He died for sinners. Everybody is a sinner. You go to hell because you don't believe, you don't see, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. And they, of course, carcass fell in the wilderness because of an evil heart of unbelief. Now, we're talking in this about feast days. God set aside certain feast days and made proclamation, proclaim, these are the days that I want to be, of course, in my memorial every year. These things be done every year. Some of them every Sabbath day, of course, Saturday, for them being a Sabbath, the day of rest. Our day is the Lord's day. Someday, the first day of the week. That's called the Lord's Day in Revelation. Now, our day of worship, we commemorate, and of course, that's what this was, a memorial. It represented things that had taken place back in time past. Like, of course, the Passover Supper, when they were spared, had the blood on the post, the linen post of the doors there, and the angels seen the blood on the door when he passed over them at Passover. They were spared from the wrath of God poured out upon them. That was in memorial. Said, I want you to do that. It's been a new year to you. First, they said the first month, and of course, the 10th day of the year, put the lamb up. Of course, but the 14th day, slaughtered the lamb. For the 14th day, for 7 more days, he said, I want you to have the feast of unleavened bread. And they would have no leaven in their bread. It wasn't something they could sit back and, you know, rejoice over and have a good old bunch of good cooking. This was unleavened. It was flat. It was plain. Evidently, God, they wanted them to eat it like that for 7 days. That was one of the first feasts you made mention of. That is a feast day outside these other days, holy days of convocation, holy days that set aside for certain things, and had also the time when they brought their offerings for Thanksgiving. For different things that they just wanted to bring to God as a token of appreciation and love and wanted to bring things for Him. They had all kind of feast days. We'll talk about them in this chapter. And He said to them, speaking to the children of Israel, saying them concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be the holy convocation, even these are my feast. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. And if you notice, Sabbath means not only seven, but it means day Sabbath. That can mean a day of rest. That's when they rested. God ceased from all of his labors. And God didn't need a rest. That didn't mean the work was done. And of course, he finished what he set out to do. Creation of mankind, everything that is therein. God said everything and it's in its place. He set the stars and the moon and all these things. They tell me that the moon up there controls the tide, the seas. And he got everything up there for a purpose, for a reason. We may not understand all, but something we have some under gravitation for man to don't blow out of space and all the good things that God created, and the winds and the circus and all these other things, and the waters and the sea, the purification. And God put everything in a perfect order. Everything he done it well. It was good. And then where it's been defiled and polluted and tore up and destroyed and put to waste about mankind. Man is, of course, is wretched and rotten. The top of his head, the bottom of his feet, and sin in the world, he's corrupt. All together, vain. We're wretched and vile. Of course, I'm glad God, of course, puts up with vile sinners. If he didn't, I'd have went to hell a long time ago. But God had mercy on me with a great love, whether he loved us, loved me. He sent Christ Jesus to die for me. He, of course, became my personal Savior, saved me from hell, and gave me eternal life. And I'm grateful for his wonderful salvation. These are holy days of convocation, feast day. 6 days, work's to be done. Sabbath day is the Sabbath of rest. The holy convocation shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord, all your dwellings. Now, Houston, when I was a young fellow, and that's been many years ago, a lot of places were closed on Sunday. They didn't open up on Sunday. Now, everything in the world is just about open on Sunday. Thank God Chick-fil-A's not. And I respect him for that great decision that he's made. God prospered him, and I'm glad for it. You go to Chick-fil-A, you can get good service. You can get, yes, sir, thank you, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And then these other places, you know, say thank you. And they just thank you, and insulting them by telling them thank you. They hadn't got a bit of manners. No managers there. I even seen the guy there was, I was shocked there. There's one of McDonald's down the street down here going south when they was polite. I said, well, ain't this good? I'd like to even, I told myself, compliment the manager. He had to have something to do with this, so they wouldn't be doing that. But it's a rare case, and I'm telling you that it is. But I'm glad that some folks still recognize Sunday, the Lord's Day, but not many people do. They just do as they please. They use a day of fishing, boating, skiing, jumping, hollering, screaming, boozing, whatever they want to do. They do it in ball games and everything else in the world. No wonder our country is in the shape that it's in. No wonder we have drugs on every hand, murders and shooting every night. I heard of two, maybe three this morning, happened last night, yesterday reported in the city of Atlanta. Every night something's going on. Violence, he said, was over all the face of the earth. It will be, he said, when Jesus comes again, like it was in the days of Noah. Violence, men's heart continuously evil, signs of homosexuality, God have mercy, it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse, just like the Lord said that it would. And we're living in perilous times, dangerous times, and Jesus will come any time, right after his body, after his church, after his born again believers. I'm a member of that body, thank God by God's marvelous, amazing grace. And he said, in the 14th day of the first month, and even as the Lord Passover, and they have a different calendar, which we have. And they were given a different calendar as far as, and I know they're different given the calendar because God said when he brought them out of Egypt, it's going to be a new year to you. This will be your first month. Every year at this time, the first month, the 10th day, it's going to be the Lord's Passover in memorial, in remembrance of what, of course, I did for you, in sparing all the firstborn, bringing you out of slavery, out of Egyptian bondage, and carrying you toward the promised land. So he said, I want that to be a continuous feast and to continue on. Of course, as far as I know, devout Jews, I'm sure, just still have certain types of feasts that their people teach them and ordain for them to do and to be. This is the feast of the Passover. It's said to be the 14th day of the first month. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. The Lord, 7 days, you must eat unleavened bread. Now, the Passover lamb was sacrificed in that afternoon of the 14th day. Now, their days, like I told you, they create one day from that evening to the next evening. That's 12 hours, 24 hours, 12 and 12. That's how they run their days, as far as number their days. From one evening to the next evening, that's counted as, of course, like the 14th day or the 15th day, such as it might have been. And in the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. You shall have an offering made by fire on the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when you become the land which I give unto you, you shall reap the harvest thereof, and shall you bring a sheep of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest. He shall wave the sheep before the Lord to accept it for you. And on the morrow, at the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. You shall offer that day when you wave the sheep and the lamb without blemish the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Now he's talking about this and other things making mention of, but this is the first day of harvest. They start bringing in their harvest, and this persisted and lasted quite a long time. The first thing of the thing came in, he said, when it does, I want you to bring an offering. Nobody eat of it. As of yet, you bring it. You bring the first that you got, the first thing of it, of your production that God blessed you with. You bring it to the priest. He'll wave it before the Lord as an offering. And of course, when he does, because that portion that was given to the priest, but you do that, the first fruit of your harvest. And that was continued on. He talked about all the way up to the end of harvest time. He gave them 50 more days, and at that time when this particular feast had ended, 50 more days. That's when we find the feast of Pentecost, Pentecostal feast. On that day, which is called Pentecost, is when the Holy Ghost of God, when the church was born, and he sent back what God promised that he would, that is a promise from on high, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Of course, it happened what was called on the day of Pentecost. That was 50 days after this harvest time they started harvesting their crops and brought in an offering to the Lord, the offer up before him. Now notice what he said. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. For sweet savor, drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. This is not intoxicating wine. This is fruit of the vine. This is grape juice. That's not strong drink. The Bible certainly and absolutely positively makes a difference in the drinks that is wine you can handle. Well, if it's grape juice, then they had to call it wine. You stomp something out where you can drink it, it becomes a wine. There's a difference in an intoxicated, unintoxicated wine that is and what it is. It's strong drink. The Bible teaches us. He said, whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. Strong drink is raved. And whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. Strong drink means when it's fermented and it's intoxicating. They're not partake of that because God doesn't condone, He condemns it. And of course, I know others in there drank and got drunk, but it cost them for their sin. So sin has a payday. You shall eat neither bread nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the same day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation. All your dwellings. So you don't eat of it. First thing you do when you make your first harvest, you bring it to the priest. Let him offer it. Let God bless it. Wave the offer before the Lord. And then when you bring that offer, you go back and it's been blessed. You can be a partaker of the first fruit of the ground that God blessed you in. This is surely what we get to give God thanks for what God had done for them. And of course, people need to be reminded. We all do for all the time about certain things. We're just so clumsy and foolish about forgetting sometimes, not purposely meaning to, but being human. So it's we need to often get on the Word of God and be preached to. Although you know sometimes it does you good to hear the Word of God. It stirs up the inner man, the soul, and gives you, of course, a deeper conviction and a greater love and appreciation for the Word of God when it's brought forth in the Spirit. It gets down where it ought to, down where the real you is living inside that earth house, that tabernacle that your house in. It's going to be dissolved. As soon as the death's in that, there's no discharge in the war there. Thank God we don't have to worry about a second death. He's already died as our substitute. And of course, He redeemed us, gave us eternal life. We won't ever perish. Thank God for that. We'll be in a body resurrection. First resurrection was the second death. That's no power. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God for that. All right. Verse 15. You shall count on you from tomorrow after the Sabbath, but from the day that you brought the sheep for the wave offering, 7 days, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto tomorrow, after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days. You shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. This is, of course, no doubt around the end of the harvest. It's 50 days afterwards. If the whole harvest probably were done before that time, I don't know, but nevertheless, at this particular period of time, 50 days after, bring in a new offering, an offering of way before the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deal. Shall be taken of fine flour. It's been taken with leaven, baking with leaven. You can bake these with leaven, he said. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. You shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year. 1 young bullock, 2 rams shall be for a burnt offering to the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offering, an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. And then shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goat for a sin offering, 2 lambs for the first year for a peace, sacrifice of peace offering, and the priest shall weigh them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs that shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. These things were brought. All this was given to the priests that it might sustain them, might have food, that it might sustain them and meet their need. The people were to take care of the priesthood and the Levites. That was their responsibility because the Levites, in turn, were to take care of the people in intercessory prayer and laboring as one between God and man. The Levites and the high priest, of course, see to the type of Christ. He is our great high priest, our great mediator between God and man. But Aaron and his sons were chosen for that responsibility. That's why they had on the breastplate inside that the Urim and the Thummim, they had the 12 tribes of the children of Israel on each side, but went in over the heart and went in there, and that was representing them on their behalf. That's what they represented as a high priest. And only one time a year, not without blood, but they don't send the sin of the people inside the holy place that they have atonement. We'll talk about that in just a moment. You shall proclaim on the same day that may be a holy convocation to you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwelling throughout your generation. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance. He gave them some instruction. God always took care of the poor, the needy, those that could not bring in lambs and bullocks and all different type things. He said, if you can't afford it, bring two pigeons, 2 turtle doves. If you can't afford that, said, bring some fine flour. That'll be given to you right here. To feed the rich men of the land, they better leave part of that. They better not cut the corners. They better not go back to glean. They better let it drop. If it's a stranger to the poor of the land, you know about Ruth and Naomi, but she went out there and she found favor in the sight of the Boaz. And it was to be, he was going to take her to wife. He loved it at first sight, but he wanted to do things proper. And she cared for him. He said, my daughter, you could have chose young men, a rich man. Of course, she made a good choice. She chose a good husband. And of course, that led to the seed of David. But nevertheless, he left some. He said, not only that, I want you to drop from a purpose prayer and say, listen, said young lady, don't you go to anybody else's field. You don't have to. I've told my men, they better not lay a hand on you. As a matter of fact, they better make sure they meet your needs. And of course, as she found favor in his sight, like we have in the sight of the Lord, what a blessing. But anyhow, but good book, and I've read it more, read it better than this. A lot of things that God's blessed my heart with, and it makes my heart just get overwhelmed when I read about what a wonderful love story. All right, when you reap the harvest of the land, thou shalt not make clean riddance the corner of the field. When thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any glean out of the harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Said, be sure you do. And of course, Boaz was that kind of person, a godly man. He could have had a young woman. He could have beauty. He could have had any woman he wanted. He was a man of valor, a man of stature, a good man, a godly man, respected man. Everybody in that town respected him. Of course, he could have had what he wanted. He was looking for a wife. God sent him one, a little woman, of a Gentile woman. She come over the land of Moab, and she came right in the lineage, like Rahab the harlot. Listen, when God forgives and cleanses you, you're fit to bear the seed of Christ inside you because of his atoning blood. Rahab was a harlot. Her and her family all escaped the judgment of Jericho. Said Rahab the harlot is alive. She lived in Israel on the state. She was in the lineage. Salmon married her, right on down to Boaz and Obed and Jesse and David, right on down to the promise that God had made. So when you get clean through the blood, you're qualified and justified. Praise God to get to heaven, not by being good nor doing good, but by God's marvelous, amazing grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works. Let the mansion post how wonderful it is this morning to be eternally saved. God don't have no 30, 60, 90 day plan. I don't care what folks saying about it. They can talk all they want. They don't have no divine inspiration inspiring them when they teach to preach it or talk about it, testify. It's not the Lord, it's the flesh. God doesn't teach anything. He condemns those kind of thoughts. All they do is beat in there. The sheep have eternal life. They won't ever perish. No man's ever pluck them out of my hand. Thank God if they could, then they'd be stronger. The devil be stronger than the Lord. That's totally impossible. That can never happen. All right. Notice this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, look at the children of Israel. In the seventh month, first day of the month, shall be a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation. Now, if you'll notice in here, he said this Sabbath month, the first day. That did not, could not come every day, every year on Saturday. So it's still recognized as a Sabbath day, a day of rest, a holy convocation, of which a day that God has made set aside to be observed. Now, our day of observance, our day of gathering together, time, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Acts chapter 20, verses number 7, you can find that we worship on Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. Why? Because it's memorial in memory of what Jesus done on Sunday. He got up from the dead very early in the morning, the first day of the week, the Bible said, was they came to the tomb, an empty sepulchre, and the stone was rolled away, and he got up from the dead. Praise God, and he ever liveth, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven itself, on the mercy seat, intercede for saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. He can be touched, the feeling our infirmity is all point tempted. We are yet without sin. What a Savior. What a Savior that saved the poorest lost soul like me. All right, now, he said the first day of the Sabbath month, blow the trumpets, sound the trumpets, he said, blow the trumpets. Now the trumpet had, Paul said, is a trumpet given uncertain sound. Who could prepare himself to battle? So we see the trumpet was for different types of blowings and rules and regulations and sounding and warning the people and all kind of things. Times of jubilee, all different types of things that blow the trumpet, sound the trumpet. So he said, I want this trumpet going to be for memorial. Going to be in remembrance, no doubt, about your God. And that represented the holy day of convocation. And the seventh month, the first day of the month. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also the tenth day of the seventh month shall be a day of atonement. Now they only did that one time. The day of atonement is when the high priest, we talked about that a while ago, went inside the holiest of holies where nobody entered in, inside that second veil. Nobody went inside the holiest of holies. But the high priest, the one that was the high priest for that year, he didn't go in without blood. If he'd went out blood, he'd have died. He'd have never got out. He brought in the blood for his own sin, first of all. If he wasn't right, he still died. Secondly, when he was all right with God, and he come in there to intercede for the people of Israel, on the day of atonement, to make an atonement with that blood represented Jesus. Second time he come in with the blood for the sins for the people, himself and the other people. He went in there and had those bales of pomegranates all around that holy garment. Those bales quit ringing. Boy, they knew something happened. They had a rope tied on him. They'd have to drag him out of there. Only one time a year, that was a place, a holy place. You know what happened to two sons of Abram? They brought in strange incense, awful God, what God didn't ordain. God killed them both. Fire came down, consumed them, and God killed them. It's a holy thing. People better be careful about what they do with this book, this Bible. God loves the Word of God. It's His Word. I love it. Thy Word is very pure, and therefore thy servant loveth it. All right, the holy day, he said, a day of atonement. He said, it'll be the 10th day of the 7th month. And that you shall, he said, you shall be in holy convocation on you. You shall afflict your soul, and offer an offering made by fire of the Lord. You shall do no work in that same day, for the day of atonement. Make atonement for you before the Lord your God. Whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off among his people. Whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in the same day, that soul will I destroy among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation, all your dwelling. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. It shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month. At evening, from evening unto evening, shall you celebrate your Sabbaths. That's telling you when the days start, when the days end. From evening to the next evening. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days of the Lord. And this is the Feast of Tabernacles. When, of course, they set aside themselves in remembrance, memorial of how they had the tabernacle in the wilderness. They had to set up certain things there. God set them in booths in the wilderness. And they were going to be reminded of what God had done for them and what they had experienced in the wilderness. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. The 15th day, he said, of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days of the Lord. And the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days shall offer an offering made by fire of the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation to you. You shall offer an offering made by fire of the Lord in a solemn assembly. You shall do no work, servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to the holy convocation to offer an offering made by fire of the Lord. A burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offering, everything upon this day. These different types of offerings represented certain particular spiritual matters. This was, of course, the day when they had the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And God said that these things were to be done in this order. Beside the Sabbath of the Lord, notice this, there's other Sabbath of the Lord, beside your gifts, beside all your vows, beside all your freewill offerings, which you give unto the Lord. These times, they could bring at any time. The priest was there to accept these things, and God, of course, didn't require it, but this was done out of he didn't require this to be done, but he didn't make them do so, but it was beneficial to them if they did, but these were free will offerings. God doesn't make you get saved, because it says he gives you an invitation. The offering is there. Jesus died for your sin. God raised him from the dead, according to the scriptures. And of course, you can receive that, believe that, receive that. But if he gets alive in you, transform you, gets born again, the Bible said, of corrupt seed, but in the corrupt seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever, he saves you and gives you eternal life. We have that. That's a free will thing. We come because we want to. The only thing I've done, let me tell you this. When I was a young boy, my mom instilled Jesus in me. She said he was the Son of God, and he died for my sin, God raised him from the dead. And I believed that. I knew that. I believed it, seen in my mom as a little boy. Young man, young teenager, I knew Jesus was the Son of God. I knew he was, but I didn't know him as my personal Savior. When I was 23 years old, best thing happened to me. He got alive in me. I surrendered myself. I gave myself. I asked God to have mercy upon me, not tongue-in-cheek. My heart was broke. My heart was crushed. I was already willing to get saved before I got in the church. And I was broken, contrite. Like the psalmist said, this poor man cried. The Lord heard his cry. Did my all this trouble. I remember my daddy said to me, and he was drunk. He said, son, you need a psychiatrist. My mama said, no, son, no homework. Gerald needs the Lord. And she was right. I needed the Lord. And my mama said to me, honey, you want to pray? I said, mama, I don't know how to pray. I would to God I did, but I don't know how to pray. But God gave me a prayer, a simple prayer. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I've had all the woe of the world. Lord Jesus, I know who you are. Would you have mercy upon me, a sinner? My heart was crying out. My mouth didn't do any speaking at all. My heart was doing all the speaking. He heard my feeble cry. He answered my prayer, forgave me, saved me for 44 wonderful years. Had none in this world like it. Listen, I've been on both sides. I've eaten, drank, and carried on like a fool in the flesh, smoked and gambled and that do thing, cussing, all the things a lot of folk do. But ever since I got saved, I didn't have to quit it. It quit me. There's no vile talk come out of my mouth for 44 years. I'm not drink a drink of booze and don't want to drink. Not that I'm not capable of it. Not that I couldn't fall on my face if I left the building this morning. I'm still tempted on every hand. But God gave me a new heart 44 years ago. put something inside me, a divine nature in me. It changed me. It transformed me. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing in this world like it. It'll be saved, eternally saved. But I'll say again this morning, God don't have no 30 and 69 plan. When you get born again, I'm talking about you really get saved. God, Jesus gets alive in you, gets settled. Praise God, He said, the Spirit's a just men made perfect. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God, saved, saved, saved. Not because I deserve it, but because He had mercy upon me, a sinner. And Jesus died for sinners, and Paul said, whom is chief? I was a vile sinner, but thank God He sanctified me, cleansed me by His blood. And I said, somebody said, what faith are you? I said, my faith's in Jesus. If you're talking about denomination, I'm a saved Baptist. I said, most Baptists need to get saved. God have mercy on the poor, pitiful Baptist. Not on the Baptist, but all these other denominations. God have mercy. I was thinking this morning, yesterday, and I might have been talking to somebody when I said, my heart's heavy about all these churches and not hardly any real preachers around. God have mercy on them. I got Highlands and Wolves and the pulpits, and I preach about it, and some folk don't like it. Well, let me tell you something about the folk that don't like it. I don't care whether they like it or not. I'm not running the popularity contest. I'm in a real battle. I'm at war with the devil. I'm at war with sin. I'm not much of anything, but praise God, greater is He than me than he that's in the world. I'm more than conqueror than the love that gave Himself for me. And I'm not worried about what folk think about me. I'm not in a race. I'm a popularity contest, brother. I'm in a race. I'm in a fight. I'm in a battle. I intend to wage a good warfare. God being my helper, I intend to preach the word of God, being sin in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and sword, with all long suffering and sound doctrine. For the time has already come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but at their own lust shall eat themselves teachers, having itching ears, that deny the truth, return from the truth, return unto fables. They make the word of God a fable. It's a fair tale to them. They're telling stories and everything else you can imagine. There's no real preaching in the so-called pulpits. There's no preaching going on. God have mercy, we got blind leading the blind, and they're leading people all going to fall in this. You can't get saved if you're not sitting under some real preaching sent down from heaven. I guess preach God by the foot of preaching, save them that believe. Have no Bible belief, no saving grace outside of real preaching sent down from heaven. Jesus said you must be born again. I've had a second birth. The Lord in heaven, my first birth was a fleshly birth. I'm 44 years old. I'll be 68. 68 years, 44 years I've been with a new birth, 68 years old in this old body, and one day it's going to be dissolved, yes sir, but when it's dissolved, I'm not worried about it. I said, if the Lord takes me out before He comes after the church, and y'all still remain here, put two King James versions on me, if you would, please remember that, brother, if you're still alive, stick one on this side, and one on the right side. I want a King James, don't put none else but a King James version on me, don't cry on me, don't whine on me. Praise God, I'll be gone. I'll only be put in a grave over there. It's a house, the tabernacle I housed in for such a time as God lets me live. And I'll get out. Be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is not a fairy tale. He's alive in me. He's real in me. He communes with me, talks with me, instructs me, guides me, leads me. He reproves me, corrects me. All the good things that the Heavenly Father does to His Son. Praise God, I got all the benefits. I'm unworthy of it, but I sure do love Him and thank Him. I'm not ashamed of His Word. I want to preach it best I can. God be my helper. All right, now look. Back again, all these Sabbaths, all these holy days, and all these free will offerings, He said, beside all the other things that you come and bring in your vows, you fulfill that. Also, the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast from the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Now, said Sabbath meant a day of rest. Saturday is, of course, the day that they give the Jewish people. Our day is Sunday, the Lord's day, the first day of the week. That's when He got up from the dead. I said, for the benefit of some of you, read in here the first portion of the chapter. It speaks unto the children of Israel. This was given to Israel only. That is Saturday. The first, there was to be their worship day, and that was given on. That's the day of rest. That's what that means, the Sabbath day. I said, there's all kind of holy days and convocation, Sabbath days, and they didn't fall on Saturday, but it was recognized and is, and the church, of course, commemorates and memorial of Jesus getting up from Sunday, the first day of the week. But here it is, he's talking, finishing up, he said, 15th day of the seventh month, they gather through the land. It's going back now to the harvest. I told you when it started the harvest, you bring a wave offering, and at that wave offering, of course, you take your fruit there, and then 50 days later, at the end of the harvest, are taking place, but he wanted them to come up in the memorial. Then that's when we have the day of Pentecost. They said that's when that transpired and took place when Jesus went back to heaven. Of course, and He sent back later. The Holy Ghost of God, as the church was born, and God set those early souls afire, and the Holy Spirit of God got alive in mankind. He lives inside of us now. He had in time of old move on His prophets, move in and out of them. He couldn't tabernacle Him because price hadn't been paid, the way hadn't been made, the blood hadn't been shed, and it hadn't been settled as of yet. When he died at Calvary and gave up the ghost, he sent back the third part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, to get alive in every born again believer. The Bible said a man without the Spirit of Christ is none of his. I've got the indwelling, I've got the proof, I've got the witness on the inside. He's alive in me. God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. He said that at the 58th day, seventh month, when he gathered everything in, he said, if from that to the first day to the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. You shall take on you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm tree, boughs of thick trees, as well as the brook. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. You shall keep it a feast in the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. And all that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. This was Israel. And a commemoration and memorial of what they experienced while they was in the wilderness, wandering for 40 long years, they brought it upon themselves. That your generation may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God, as Moses declared, and the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. Now, I was going to get into the other, but we don't have time this morning, so we would if it's God's will. But God, I think I'm going to quit here. I feel encouraged to quit. But I want you to read over in this. This is again talking and telling us about what went on inside the sanctuary. Inside the first curtain of the first veil was the tabernacle of the congregation. Inside the second veil was the holiest of holiest, where nobody went to the high priest once a year, not without blood. And we're going to talk about what went on there and about those 12 loaves they put in there every week. The children of Israel bring it, representing each tribe. Well, they made bread, and this was, of course, the food for the priests and the Levites that was inside. That was their portion of food for them to sustain them during this time. Some of these offerings were brought also, not those that not were consumed by fire totally, but those things that were offered up, of course, the priests had a certain portion of that, the wave offerings, to meet their needs so that they could be busy about the Father's business, not have to be engaged in making a living for themselves. They had to do that sometime. That's when it was first evolved, when the people didn't know what they should do, had to go back to where the suburbs and cities were given unto them. They had no tribe to name after them. That boy was their inheritance, but they had to go back out there and labor and toil. And that wasn't meant to be. That was not what God intended to be. So when he done that, less of the word of God was being dispersed and preached and abroad, and most less of God's word was carried out. So he tried to tell them, sustain them, to help them, that they might be able to meet the needs. Now, of course, yesterday God gave me on the radio broadcast, and it's going into New Orleans now, so we opened up and we didn't, but a certain one is financing it, and I know he don't want to call his name, but he said he would, so he wants to, and if every soul is saved, he'll have a portion just as good as much of my preaching. It'd be him for financing that. He done it out of his heart. We're going on in New Orleans down there too. So I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to help everybody. I want to reach them. I want folks to get saved. And that's the only reason I'm preaching. That's the only reason I'm here this morning. God knows my motivation. And the only thing I want to do is help everybody I can. I'm far short what I need to be, going to be. God being my effort. But I know I've got to make a big increase. I got to get more of him and less of me. But I got desire. He put a desire in me. And I said yesterday, of course, old nut, I called him Evangelist Nut Johnson. That idiot, he talked about, I'm robbing you. Well, I said, yes, they got to let me say it to it. I said, I don't take no salary. Y'all don't pay me to preach. I work for a living. I work for a living. And I said, we give what we needed for the church, our members that need it, other folk we hear that we can afford that needs it. We'll help them. We've helped them. That's what we do with our little bit of money, is and pay our obligation. Whether you believe it or not, we have a pretty good bit of obligation here. The broadcast that he furnishes up, two broadcasts out of state, but the one here in Atlanta. Of course, the church does that and other things as well, too, and the rent, other things we and other things too. So it takes a little bit of money. But I'll never preach about money. You give if you want to. If you don't give, I don't know who give who don't give. You don't have to answer me. You do what you please. Whatever you please, you better do it right. Be sure you're doing what God wants you to do. And God, the Bible said, God loves a cheerful giver. I believe in tithing. I practice that myself. You give myself. But nevertheless, if you give, it's here's what you give. Somebody said, I told folks that I can't hardly pay my bills. Said she was giving it to a sorry good called her pastor, bishop. I said, she's dead now, but I said, you ought not do that. I said, you can't pay your bills. God says, you give it. God has prospered you. If you can't afford it, for God's sake, pay your obligation. Most of those buzzing in the pulpit need to kick in the rear end anyhow. They're not a thing in the world but hirelings, and they're a bunch of wolves in sheep clothing, and they just want your money. All these millionaire preachers on the radio, they're a bunch of religious thieves. That's all they are. They're not real. They're satanic, full of the devil. They act a dollar. That's why they preach about a dollar. We got one name, Prepro. He prefers over the dollar. That's who he is. Prefer the dollar. Prefer the dollar. He prefers the dollar. And all these other idiots and lunatics on TV. God have mercy. Joel Osteen. Omar said, I wish you'd tell my wife that. She's crazy about him. I see him a thing, but he looked like Bug Bunny to me. He got his wife in like Sapphire Down and Out. Them scummy dogs, they made, I'd like to puke in their face if I got in front of them. I'd try to stick my finger down my throat, see if I could vomit in their face. That's all, they're a bunch of puke. But anyhow, there they are on there. But he said this, God has prospered you. If you can't afford it, for God's sake, don't give it. Pay your bills. Meet your obligation. And if you'll do that and want to, and God will bless you and put you in a place where that you can. So you give if God prospered you. You don't ever give a dime. I'm loving you. I don't know what you give. Don't care. I'm loving you just like I love everybody else in here. And me, God knows, is not a respected person. I plead the same way to my people, to my kids, to my in-laws, brother, my son-in-laws. They're going to get the same preaching I'll give to you. And that's out of the heart of love. I mean, if they're out of shape, out of place, they're going to get it. They want it, as a matter of fact, because most of them saved. Those are not, will be. They want it too. They want to hear the truth. Jesus said, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. All right, I'm finished. But the study in there, a lot of good to be reading, be learned over those next few chapters, and I believe you'll find them real good if you study over in there. And I've talked two or three times already about inside the veil, inside the sanctuary, and what was in there, what it represented. Every time we talk about it, it's going to get a little clearer to you. You're going to have in your own mind where it sits in there, why it's in there, what it represents. And I don't know all that. I just know some of that. But God's educating me as I go along, and I need a lot of education. You're looking at a dummy. I want to be the Lord's dummy. I want God to help me, use me, have mercy upon me, reprove me, rebuke me, keep me straight. I need it. I said, I'd already fail if it weren't the Lord. I was telling somebody yesterday, we were talking, and the little young girl, she's about 23, 24. She kept looking. I went and had my car inspected. She was filling in for another lady. She kept hitting me eyeball to eyeball. She wanted me to flirt with her. And I'm telling you, it almost gets it. I got to my mind. You know, I was married for 34 years. I lost my wife 15 years ago. I hadn't practiced sex with my wife. I don't intend to. And God be my helper. But I'm going to say this. If it weren't for the Lord, I'd already took a lot of invitation. I'd already fell on my face. God have mercy on me. I know what my flesh is. It's rotten. I don't desire to do that, but the flesh is strong. Stronger than I am. And I had to back up and say, God help me, God have mercy on me. No thank you, ma'am, I didn't say that, but I just went on about my business. And she kept looking. Every time she turned around, she looked right in the face and smiled at me. She wouldn't know me if I was looking at her fanny, looking at her legs. She was doing them for me. And so I tried my best to keep my mind on the Lord. And I'm human. Don't nobody think y'all some type of superhero. I tell you, the devil's like a roaring lion walking through and forth seeking who may devour. And he's the god of this earth and the god of this world, the prince of power there. Now you just need to keep your mind on the right place and on the right things, and you'll stay out of trouble. I don't mean just about sex. I mean any type of temptation. We all have it. That's part of being human. Everybody has temptation. He was tempted all points we are, yet he was without sin. Isn't that wonderful? The sinless one. The only one that ever has been, ever could be, ever will be. We're born in sin. Shaped in iniquity and born in sin. But God help me. I have to cry out to him daily. Lord, help me to keep my mind focused and on good things and on better things and preaching your blessed word. If you want to send me a wife, good. If you don't, I'll preach without one. Just help me to be faithful and preach, 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 preach. There's such a great need to be preaching. Ain't many people around preaching. God have mercy. They need real preaching. And I'm not much of anything. I know they're out there somewhere, but I just ain't found too many that's real. God have mercy. People are perishing. I know these men here love the Lord, and they got burdens, and fellas, we need more of it. Pray God help us and give us a greater increase in love. That said, knowledge busts up, and charity edifies. That's love. I want more of it. I want to be overwhelmed with his love. I need that, and I want it. I believe he'll give it. All right, we'll see folks trying to get it. You go ahead and do what you need to do, and we'll get started in just a few minutes at our morning service. So, it's an hour. God bless you. Just a minute before you.